At an enterprise level, nothing is more important than communication. Grammarly for Enterprise enables your team to work smarter and faster. Other AI tools can't quantify business impact, but Grammarly gives you actionable insights and measurable results with features like their effective communication score, which tracks key metrics so you can make data-driven decisions to improve outcomes. Visit grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You all had or are having a lovely holiday season as we are ringing in 2025. What will the new year bring? Let's go through the tarot, numerology, and the animal of the year for 2025 to get some insights. First, let's talk about the numerology of 2025, which adds up to the number 9. 9 is essentially right before a new cycle begins and is where everything that isn't serving you will be left behind to make room for new energy or new something new. 9 is made up of 3 threes. And in the Kabbalah Tree of Life, there are 3 triads that are formed by the Sephirah on the Tree of Life. So essentially, the soul's journey has traversed all of the 3 triangles before it hits Malkuth, the material world, also known as the material world of manifestation. So the first triad, just to go through sort of, you know, the thing I like the most about the Kabbalah and the Hermetic Kabbalah is sort of the structure of it. So if we think about 9, again, going back to the number of the year for 2025, the first triangle or triad is called the celestial or Nemesha, Neshama. It's called the Neshama and is formed by Keter, Chokmah, and Binah, and is the triad of infinite intelligence. So this is the head or crown where spiritual information is received, like from the beyond, right? This is the crown, your head, associated with mental processes and the body. And also, like, if you think about sort of the different bodies you have as human, it's also the mental body and associated with receiving that spiritual information. Messages from spirit, your ancestors, spirit guides, you know, whatever is beyond comes through the crown, manifests there. Your ideas manifest there and wherever you think that comes from. And the second triad is moral or ruach of the infinite love formed by Geburah, Chesed, and Tibereth. This is the seat of the soul and is where your love is given and received. So does your emotional body, if you think about in terms of bodies. So it is sort of associated with your emotional body, the love and affection and emotion that you put out toward things, the love and affection you receive. It's sort of like the give and take of that energy. And the third triad is mundane or nefesh, which is the personality formed by Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. Those are the Sephirah. And this is the last stop before becoming a part of the material reality. So the personality is the vehicle. So if you think it's called the personality, personality is the vehicle of how we exist in reality. So that is like the personality you can think of as like me and Marilee, you are you. Sort of the things that we know, the material realm, the form they take is sort of the personality. So well, I should say that it's like the essence before it hits, you know, the material world as you know who you are. And so that particular realm is a really good realm of manifestation, especially since it includes Yesod, which is the realm of the moon, and anything sublunar in sort of the idea of alchemy or hermeticism, those things, like anything sublunar is definitely like right when it hits before it becomes part of the material reality. And so a good example like I've been thinking about lately is there was this quote from Prince where he talked about like recording different songs, and he was just like prolific. He would record, he has like many albums of unrecorded or unreleased music that hasn't hit our ears yet. It's still sitting waiting to be released. But he would wake up in the morning, like 2 in the morning, call all of his musicians into his home studio and record a song. And they were like, why are you getting us up this early? Why are we have to do it now? Can it wait? He's like, no, we have to do it now, because if I don't record this, Michael Jackson's going to get it. And it wasn't like Michael Jackson was going to sneak into a studio and steal the lyrics or the song. It was like, he understood that it was something that was like swimming in the air, and he caught it and he wanted to like bring it into reality. So I always think about that with Prince, is like he kind of understood the sort of sublunar realm of Yesod and Netzach and Hod. It's like that final triangle before it becomes something. So let's see. So yeah, so what does this mean? A 9-3 triangles. What does this mean as like a group? All of us here on Earth as a collective whole. You know, it's kind of a big thing. So essentially you can think of it as like we have passed as a collective through three gates, or the triads, the three triangles. And the last step to take is all the things we have learned from the spiritual information from the crown, from the messages from the ancestors and spirit guides that you've been receiving, the mental planning and consideration, combine that with the emotion of give and take to be applied for what is good for the community is also good for you, and vice versa, like understanding that flow. Then the envisioning stage is complete. Like all of that is done. We are now like ready to put into action. Like it's sitting there ready to drop into the material plane to be realized, right? So it's here. So that's what 9 is. It's like all the things that can happen are ready. So like we all have to be ready to like to receive it, like Prince did, right? Receive that song, put it into the real world. Yeah, so I just kind of wanted to talk through sort of the number 9 and what does that mean as far as, you know, my perspective is like studying the Kabbalah and different triangles and how I understand sort of how energy, not even just energy, but like how, you know, thoughts progress through us as humans and then becomes something that is in our material reality. So right now we're all like 2025 is where a lot of action is going to be taking place. So I'm really excited to talk through sort of the different tarot and the animal of the year, because it all, to me, it all seems to be coming together. And it was really fun to kind of put it together today for you guys. So now this year, so I like thinking about, because, you know, I like to look at the Chinese folks, they have their different animals of the year. And I know that their new year doesn't start until toward the end of January. But this year, it's going to be the year of the wood snake. We're leaving the year of the wood dragon behind. So for me, you know, there's different interpretations of what the snake means. It's a very powerful, very primordial symbol for us humans on Earth. It is one of the first evolution, or one of the very earliest evolutions of what we were at some point, according to science, in the evolutionary stack. We were kind of little wriggly, you know, lizards or limbless lizards, you know, crawling around or whatever we were doing, you know, before we many, many years are into our current form. So if you think about a snake is essentially our spine. You think about the shape of a snake and what snake, you know, if you look at the bones of a snake, it looks like our spine. So our spine carries, you know, what does the spine do for our body? It carries electrical signals and energetic information through our body. It's a very, very, like, it is that primordial, like, where everything is sort of connected. It's where our head, our limbs are all connected. It's like the foundation of who we are as people, as beings, you know, on this planet. Most beings might have, like, the same sort of structure here. So the snake creature, the other thing to think about as a snake is, and a lot of these sort of, like, witchcraft or mystical realms or alchemy or hermeticisms. You know, there's a lot of things about animals that traverse different realms. Like they can live simultaneously in two realms. They're considered very powerful kind of creatures. So the snake is very similar. Like the snake, I think most of us tend to think of a snake as something that associate with the ground or underground, right? It lives on the ground. But I'm sure you've seen where snakes can rise up either on their own, like kind of stand up, or they can crawl up into a tree. So they can actually be like an animal of the air, a vertical being like we are. So they are not only a crawling being, but they can rise up and be a being in the air. So why is that important? So if you think about us beings, like we're trying to connect back, right? We came from, depending on how you consider the structure of our universe and what we're doing here, my current understanding is for me is that, you know, we came from the realm of spirit. We're down here, down in Malkuth, the lowest realm. Lowest does not mean that it's the worst. It just means that just if you think of structures and how it is, it's like it's the heaviest, it's the lowest, it's the one that's like the material world. So that's where the snake dwells. But the snake can also become vertical. We can become vertical. We can connect, stay on the ground, but also connect up in back into spirit again. And so have like that flow, that current, if you think about the spine of that information. So this is why you'll see snakes in a lot of different practices. It's again, you'll see snakes appearing in different regions as a very powerful and meaningful symbol. One that's probably familiar and I've talked about on the show is the Kundalini. It's thought of as snakes. It's also thought of as hair. Like my teacher, he said it was like the Kundalini actually means the curl of a hair. But I think a lot of people also think of it as like the snake rising, the that female energy kind of rising out, you know, through your spine and out the top of your head. So it's also associated with sort of that lower energy, lower being, kind of like connecting with the higher realms or the higher ways of being. And also like another symbol obviously is the caduceus with the two snakes, similar situation. Like there's like the spine of the caduceus wand, and there's two snakes sort of rotating around, rising up again. So you have, you know, the big symbol of Hermeticism is sort of that. It's the three columns, the snake, the transversing of energy, the exchange of energy, the balance of energy, rising, becoming vertical. So that's kind of like the snake and how that I see it as a very powerful symbol and what it means to me when I think of like, okay, this is you're the snake. Becoming a being of the ground is becoming a being of the air. And it's also, okay, so it's also it's a wood snake. And so for me in the practices I do, wood is associated with fire. So with creating new beginnings, you know, talked about the number nine is the number of the year. So it's the same thing. It's like there's new beginnings that are going to be happening for everybody in some way. And so fire is basically burning away anything that is old. You know, if you think about how you would burn your old trash, or people would burn old brush in a forest to make way for new trees. It's the same thing is happening, but it's kind of a dual process because not only is fire cleansing, fire is like the fire of creativity, the fire of emotion, the fire, the energy that makes you want to go out and do something, to create something. So there's sort of two dual things that are happening, especially if it's like the year of the snake. It's a lot of like transformative things are going to be happening. It's going to be very interesting. And so another thing to think about with that is because of all this like transformative energy, because of all this creativity, because of all this burning away, we're really going to need to look out for our own energy. Number one, look out for number one. Let's be a little selfish this year, but mainly just around like understanding how you can maintain your energy because you're going to need it. And a really great way that I have found to really help me understand how I need to, rest and take a break and maximize how I use my own energy is to look into something like human design. I think is excellent for kind of logically breaking down something so it seems so mysterious and strange, but really breaks it down to like, here's how your energy is, and here's how you can retain and regain energy, what energizes you, and how you need to rest. And so I think that might be a good tool to look into if you're interested. There's a lot of free resources to look into human design. So I highly recommend that as something to look into for sure. And also another resource, one of our past guests, Noelle O'Reilly, is a wonderful human design reader. So if that's something you want to look into, she's, wonderful. I'll put her links down below as well again. But you can also check out episode 39 with Casual Temple if you want to hear more about human design, because she really goes into it and explains it really, really well. And I'm a big advocate, and in as much as like it really is a good system to really get a handle on your own energy. So yeah, consider it.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so finally, we're going to look at the tarot. So let's take a look at that. So I pulled three cards. I like to pull three because it's sort of representative of past, present, and future. And sorry, checking that. Okay, past, present, and so it's representative of past, present, and future. So I pulled three cards, and they're very interesting. They kind of go with the different themes we've already talked about. So let's kind of go. And then I have a card I pulled from the Archetype deck from Kim Kranz. If you've not seen that deck, it's awesome. So I pulled one for that year, and a new card from a new deck that I got recently from, I think his name is Rick Harris. Saw him do a talk at the Seattle Antiquarian Book Fair on this very old 10,000-page alchemical text. Trying to remember what the name is. However, we got to hold it, and it was really great. But he also made these cards, and his company is called Archetypal Artworks. And you can buy these cards on the internet. I'll also put a link down below. They're very cool. So I'll talk about more about that when we get to that stage. It'll be the final card we look at from an alchemical perspective. So I'm excited to share that with you. But we'll just start with regular Rider-Waite-Smith. This is a beautiful borderless edition of the Rider-Waite-Smith deck. It has these kind of like beautiful muted colors to it. It's really lovely. So we'll just get started. So the first card is the Eight of Cups. What was interesting about this card was, when you read tarot, you tend to kind of like pick up the deck and look at the card that's like on the bottom of the deck, just out of curiosity. And this was the card at the bottom of the deck. However, do your thing, like, this time I asked for the three cards to pop out of the deck as I was shuffling it. This one was the first one to pop out. So the Eight of Cups is sort of that energy we were talking about before. I know it's eight, and this year is the numerical number nine, but eight is also about like leaving things behind, right? Like, what are the things that emotionally you're just ready to let go of? You need to go on a different path, that sort of thing. So I think as a collective, again, thinking of like us as a group of people living here on planet Earth, what are those things that emotionally we've been holding on to, but really aren't serving us going forward. They're kind of blocking our path, right? So we need to go a different way, go around, something different. So that's how I think of the Eight of Cups. The eight, eight is a magical number. We talked about this last year, actually, but eight is associated to Hermes, Mercury, and Taut, those gods. So it's a god of magic and communication. And cups are representative of the element of water, again, with the emotions and sort of depth and things of that nature. So kind of think about that as like, what are some things we as a collective need to leave behind that we're sort of emotionally attached to and we don't really need anymore? Okay. And so the middle bit, sort of the Ace of Wands, I kind of consider these as like past, present, future, but since we're kind of looking into the future, it's sort of like, you know, all telling a story. So the Ace of Wands is, you know, the number one for creativity, the mind. We talked about that earlier because we're in the year of the wood snake, fire elements, creativity. And in this particular card, you can see like there's the hand of God or the hand of spirit, the hand of inspiration, however you want to look at it, but it's presenting you with a lot of different like potentialities to pursue, new things to create. Ace of Wands, of the mind, but also of like your creativity, your passion. So it's kind of like both things at once. So that's, you know, interesting that it came up in this particular reading. And then the third card is the Empress. In the Journey of the Fool, the Empress is the third person you meet in the archetypal major arcana. And so she is sort of, again, like we talked about with, again, with the wood snake and the element of wood, the idea of luxury and needing to relax, to receive. You know, the Empress is very much a feminine figure. So the receptivity of that information, to get that inspiration, that middle card for like, you know, what do you want to realize? But also like understand, you know, maybe look for things of beauty, right? What are things you can bring into this world that are beautiful? Maybe things that in the Eight of Cups weren't beauty, right? Weren't associated with beautiful things, with things that can be shared with others. So the Empress is all about that. She's about like being in the receptivity mode. She's, you know, she's pregnant, she's beautiful. Like, what is she going to like deliver into the world? We also need to take care of her, right? Like we want to take care of that energy that is us, right? Take care of that receptivity energy, but take care of us because we are the same. We are like a vessel that all of this is processing through and with. So I think, yeah, so the Empress. So essentially, you know, let's review again. Eight of Cups, let's leave those things that aren't emotionally working for us behind. You know, maybe take note of them, but it's not, you know, you don't need to do those anymore. Ace of Wands, like what are, you know, there's ideas there. There's things that you've been wanting to realize. And this goes for me too. I'm like a creature of many ideas. but you know, what is really waiting there to be like taken advantage of, to realize into our reality. And in that to make, you know, what is the beautiful things that we can make and create in this world, and then taking care of ourselves. Maybe that's part of it, is like taking care of ourselves is also taking care of other people. So like maybe there's something about that too as a whole collective. So I think these are like really interesting things and cards to think about. So I'm going to put them back up here as we move along. So we're going to look at this, the box. Show it. So it's this deck. But it's like the Kim Kranz archetype deck, the Wild Unknown archetype deck. I really like this because she's got like the really cool, beautiful images to kind of meditate on. I like things where you can kind of stare at it and meditate on it. I'm going to flip it over. I'm going to tell you what it is and what I think it is, but we're also just going to read straight what K Kim Kranz wrote about it because she has like really great descriptions. So this one is the offering. So if again, if you think about, I'm going to pull my these cards back down actually. Think about all the different energies and things we've been looking at. It is the offering, literally the offering, the Ace of Wands. What is the offering? What is being presented? What can you take? And you know, you have all the abilities, you have all the resources that you can make happen. It's just kind of like picking a lane, picking a road, picking, you know, something to kind of pour all your energy into. So that's how when I pulled this, I was like, oh, that's perfect. It's exactly what sort of these different cards are talking about. So let's read, show the book, what Kim Kranz says for this particular card, the offering. I'm just going to read it. She has kind of like different things on the sides too. I'll read those that are kind of interesting. So the offering, the gift, the present, the sacrifice. Unlike many of the cards in the deck, the offering carries a clear as day message and a call to action. As you may have guessed, it is time for something to be given and given up. For the sake of the bigger picture, if nothing comes to mind immediately, though it's likely it will, take time in meditation to consider what must be offered and who is to receive it. You'll make excuses, but recognize the link between the word sacrifice and the word sacred. One leads to the other. When we offer up something to the greater good, we lighten our load and become more able to serve. Imagine for a moment if you were to offer your whole self unconditionally to the world. Now, for now, start small. So she has these, like I said, these little things on the edges. Underneath it says, win light. So this is essentially, if you think about when you're in your best, the quote unquote best version of yourself, the light version of yourself, the bright light version of yourself. So this expresses as generosity, donation, volunteering. When dark, this is like the shadow, right? Everything has the light and the dark. So this is the shadow. Giving with expectations and keeping track, keeping tabs. So go deeper. I think this is where she has sort of like, you know, how, you, where can we like go the next level to for understanding? So Odin's sacrifice of his eye in Norse mythology. So if you're familiar with the Norse legends, maybe if you're not, look into it, see how that might relate to what we're talking about here in like sacrifice and offerings and sacredness. So what do we have here? One of the things on the side says, once a week, Gandhi gave up speaking for a day, offering himself to divine silence. The offering can come in all shapes and sizes. So you get to pick. What is it, you know, what is something that you can express that sacrifice or sacredness? If there is a gift you've been thinking of giving someone special, now's the time. Yeah, I think these are good reminders. So yeah, the offering was such a great card. I love when all of these things kind of flow together and kind of form their own story. So I was really excited to pull that. So yeah, here is... So this one is the archetype. It was a very small deck. It is very cool. So archetypal artworks. So if I'm holding it right. Archetypal artworks is the deck. I believe it was Rick Harris. I'm gonna double check the notes, but I'm pretty sure that was a gentleman's name. He was very cool. And we talked a little bit about alchemy together. After his little talk, but I really liked his cards because while I do consider myself in a way of an alchemist, these things are like, this is like chemical symbology of alchemy, which is really cool. So I'm just going to flip it over because it was a little like, whew, again, it's like fitting in with all of the cards that we looked in today. But in these cards, there's these different, hold this. There's like, they have the alchemical bottles. Like you'll probably like, if you took a chemistry class, they look like chemistry bottles. But in alchemy, these are like the, if you think about like the womb of a woman, the calabash and voodoo. Sort of, there's a lot in different cultures. There's a lot of similar things. The cauldron, you know, like where you're like cooking and preparing and mixing and like becoming. It's the, again, we talked about sort of the realm of Yasod. It's like, it's where it's all of that is cooking and becoming. So it's in this jar, this container. And I've always liked to think about, before I even understood what like these particular concepts were, I always was like, spirit needs to find a container in the in our material reality. There, it's constantly looking for a container. And so I think it's interesting that, you know, the alchemists already figured that out and literally put it in a container. But this, I feel like I'm trying to read because I need my glasses. Quinta Essentia. Okay. Quinta. Okay. So there's a little, if you look at the top, I'm trying to this better here. There is a little ribbon with some words on it that says Quinta Essentia. And so that's, you know, something to think about. The essential, I guess, five, Quinta. Anybody who knows Latin, you can help me out here. It's fine. And then it's a little bit of a, I'm not gonna lie, because it looks a little bit like the earth burning or some sort of ball of something is burning and on fire. It's literally on fire. When we talked about the wood snake, fire, things that need to, you know, become something new. But what's interesting, if you look at these different cards, is they have like sometimes the bottle is sealed and sometimes the bottle is open. And so I think here it's sealed. It's kind of like, again, if you think about the bottle as a woman, you know, making a baby, like, or like holding the baby for 9 months, it's like, it, that's what it is, sealed, right? It's not ready to come out yet, but it's there. It is, and it is on fire. Like it wants to exit. So yeah, you know, the way Rick talked about how he uses these cards is he just takes one a day and he kind of meditates on it. Like you might stare at it, you might do like a little bit of a gaze, or if you do scrying, kind of treat it like a scrying focal point. I've done a little bit of that. It's kind of interesting with these cards because they're so the symbols are so, can be so strange. But I like that. I like when things are a little bit not of my current sort of understanding, because I think it helps my brain stretch a little bit. Not even my brain. I would say the deeper archetypal symbology that I think all humans have, it helps stretch with that. So, you know, again, if you're interested in sort of the meditation aspect of a practice, I think these cards are really cool. If you're interested in alchemy, I think it's a really good way to understand it. I'm trying to think. We had a couple of my buddies on the show. They did, yeah, they do these paintings that are really amazing. The Lawrences, yes, they do these really amazing paintings, and they've been doing a lot of like alchemical work, and they talked about like the bottles and like all of that. Yeah, Burke and Chase Lawrence, they were talking about sort of the bottles and how a lot of their looking into and research for their own artwork was like utilizing sort of these bottles. And I'm like, oh, that's fascinating. And then, you know, I happened to like run across this deck and this particular alchemist talking about it. So it was very, very cool. So yeah, so that is, you know, that is the energy of 2025, you guys. And it's not only like, I'm not, you know, I'm pointing these all things out. This is for me too. Like I got so many projects, so many things I want to do, so many. And, you know, again, I'm going to bring it back into human design. Human design, you know, mine is manifesting generator, manifesting generator. That is like our MO, is like doing a lot of things, doing a lot of projects, and maybe sometimes not finishing a lot of projects. So I really need to like put my butt behind some projects this year. And I hope you do too. And I would love, you know, if you guys have any of your own insights, either about the Kabbalah, the tarot, this Quinta Essentia alchemical card, is more information, because I honestly am not exactly sure what's in there. It just looks like the world is on fire, or marble is on fire. So you can help me with that. Yeah. So any interpretations you want to share, because I always think like I can only see one, I'm only one perspective of the whole. So I think everybody's perspective is valid and really opens up sort of understanding. So yeah, I'd love to hear what you think. So, again, if you're still celebrating the holidays, happy holidays. Here's to 2025. It's going to be a very interesting year. And yeah, I'd love to know what all your projects are going to be and how you're going to move forward in this. To learn more about the Casual Temple podcast, please visit our website, casualtemple.com. There's a Casual Temple YouTube channel, and you can follow me on Instagram with username at Marilee Duffy or at Casual Temple. Please be sure to leave a review and share this episode with the people in your life who would enjoy this content. Do check out the other episodes of the Casual Temple podcast on your preferred podcast app, and thank you so much for listening.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.